Good morning. 7:40 a.m. on Wednesday, August the 19th, 2015. First day of school. The younger progeny has been deposited at the doors of the academy. I'll have to fetch her sometime this afternoon. Yeah, to say that this was not a joyous occasion, for her anyway, would be an understatement. and the school is playing games. I don't quite get it. That's one of the things we're going to have to deal with. When we finished last year, the deal with the guidance office was that she'd have to take one math class because she's short one math credit. But other than that, she's good to graduate. She's good to go. If she'd taken the math class over the summer, she could have graduated over the summer. But they've loaded up her schedule. She's got like 5 or 6 classes for the fall, and they changed her schedule, so now she has 7 classes in the spring. And they're all like, really? I didn't ask for these. Where did these come from? So we'll have to see how this goes. I'm not totally sure how we're going to work this out. In order to keep her in music and drama, the trade-off here is way too high. So, I'm not sure. I don't know. We'll have to take it up with the guidance office. Because this wasn't the deal. This wasn't the deal. And changing the deal, because now the calendar has changed, it's not gonna... Yeah, that's not exactly fair. Oh, yes, well, we didn't consider that the district has these arbitrary regulations that even though you've got enough credits, you still have to spend time in class. And if you flunk those classes, then you won't be able to graduate. If you didn't take them, that wouldn't be a problem. So, yeah, there's this whole, are you kidding me, aspect to the whole thing. We'll get it straightened out. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but we'll work with them and see what we can do. And worst case is she says, okay, bye, and kisses off the choir and drama and gets her GED, and she's free. They're not going to want that because she has really good test scores. And it's one less person that they get paid for by the state, so we have a certain amount of leverage there. Probably not a great deal, but at least some. The fact that we recognize that is probably putting us ahead of a lot of folk. So yeah, the great keyword search has ended. I have 7 keywords that I've plugged into QuarterShare. I'll let them sit for a couple of months and see if it substantially changes the pattern of sales. I figure if I do the experiment on QuarterShare and get people into the share series, that's the gateway drug that gets them into the next book and the next book and the next book. And with any luck, the new book. Ravenwood is the one I need to look at because, Ravenwood doesn't sell very many. It's also the oldest. It's been around for quite a while. And it's sold over 100,000 copies. I know it's staggering, but it's sold over 100,000 copies. Now, I didn't make $3 on every one of those. But something around 60,000 of them were in a box set that was on sale for a year. And sold a metric buttload. We were like in the top 10 on Kindle Amazon for I don't know how long. At least 2 or 3 days. It might have been as long as a week. We sold a lot of Ravenwood. A lot of the box set. In that. I think the box set being a good promotional tool may have gone by. I still see a lot of them, but they're... It used to be like every third book on the bestseller list was a box set. Not anymore. I think there are too many people who are jumping on the box set bandwagon. And like anything where there's too much of one kind of thing, it sort of saturates and blows the market out. So yesterday, 90,000 words, just 90,000, a couple. I broke my 5K for the day, but I was dragging by the end of the day. Part of it is I'm really tired. I've not had real good sleep. So I'm kind of fatigued, I'm a bit tired. The story is, I hope the story is winding up. I hope the story is coming to a conclusion. I think it is. I don't know if it's going to be today, but it might be tomorrow. And I really like the way the story is coming out. I really like the way it's coming together. It's not anything at all what I imagined it would be, which is probably a good thing. But it's a very definitely Ishmael Wong story. Ishmael and Pip and some people from their past. Some from the distant past and some from the recent past. No, Stacey Arione's not coming back. No, Christine Maloney's not coming back. But I really like the story that's coming together. It's one that resonates with me. My concern is that it's not going to resonate with everybody. Maybe it's going to be a reprise of the past. Maybe it's going to be getting back to Ishmael's roots, and people will, fans like you, will find it to be quite enjoyable and amusing. And there are other people who are going to be looking at stories like Captain and the Double, and yeah, it's not so much like that. So, I don't know, we'll see. I like it. It's a story that I would like to read. It's a story that I wouldn't be able to buy, which are my two main criteria. It's definitely true to Ishmael Wong. It's true to Pip. Pip has some interesting issues. It's true to Pip. And it sheds some light on the universe, so, you know, so what's not to love? So, I'm reading this book, Social Media is Bullshit, and I got the sample, and I read through the sample, and it wasn't eye-rollingly bad. It wasn't like I sprained an eyeball in the first 3 pages. But it was pretty... it was pretty juvenile. I'm going to use the word juvenile. I might even apply the word puerile to it. It's sort of like, if I swear enough, people will pay attention. And you start crossing off the swear words, and there's not a lot left. I was put onto it by an author who said it was a really good book on social media that really explained social media really well. And she thought it was very enlightening. I read the sample and I'm going, seriously? You thought this was enlightening? And she's like, well, yeah, I didn't read the sample. I got the book from the library, so I read it. I don't know how much it cost. It didn't matter. I just thought it was a good book. So, $7.99 for a book that I'm pretty sure is going to be, to use the author's own words, bullshit. So I dropped it. I figured, I'm waiting for John Ward to get his book over to me. So, but you better get it going. He finished his first draft yesterday, the day before. And he's trying to go through it now and get it cleaned up for beta readers, of which I have volunteered to be one. I'm pretty sure it's going to be fun to read. It's not going to be my genre, but that's okay. It's cool. So, yeah. Back to the book. Muck post. Oh, it's soggy. Oh, ew. Ew, it's wet. I got my hand wet. I'm melting. No. So, I picked it up yesterday afternoon because I needed a break from reality, writing fiction. And I started reading this book, and it's like, dude. I just read two chapters on the evils of revisionist history, proving that social media isn't actually real, that it's not actually something that's significant, that it's just a marketing label that's been applied to something that's been around for a very long time, just kludgier. And I keep waiting for him to actually make a point about this, because that's sort of like, you know, I'm reading it, and about every end of every paragraph I go, duh, okay, what? But it's evil. It's evil. This revisionist history is evil. The fact that we're nothing but sharecroppers in the feudal landlords of life. Every time we make a blog post, every time we status update on Facebook, every time we use Google search. I go, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, who peed in your Wheaties? What the hell are you doing? And so the latest bit is the top 10 quote, social media, unquote, platforms are all owned by large conglomerates and media companies. Uh-huh. That the content on YouTube that's most frequently viewed is from these media companies. Yeah, okay. And there is a point here somewhere, maybe. But I think the problem is that he's really objecting to the fact that Facebook is making money off the people who use their service. He calls it a platform. I'm not sure I agree with that terminology, but I'm not going to split semantic hairs with him. I would call Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn and Foursquare and all the rest of those, I would call them channels, not platforms. Because platforms are a different construct in my model of marketing. Platform is also not your network of peers. That's your network. That's a very different construct. That's a very different idea. And maybe it's because I spent so much time in higher education. Maybe it's because I spent so much time actually examining how this stuff works. And I'm not 100% sure I have any answers. That's probably one of the things that separates us, is that he's absolutely sure he's got the answer. At this point, I'm not even sure he's asking the right question. But whatever question he's asking, he's got the right answer for it. Okay. How about a third of the way through the book? It's a short book. I'm waiting to see if he addresses the concept of long tail. I was talking about we're lining the pockets of these monolithic, megalithic whatever you want to call them, corporations that control everything we see and read and do and think, which is, in a certain sense, for a certain percentage of the population, probably true. But it's like somehow the only reason that that works is because marketing geeks have sold the world a bill of goods. They've sold them heaping steaming piles of bullshit. And while that's been pretty much true for at least the last century, somehow it's different now because it's digital. Really? Revisionist history is new because it's digital. Really? How does that work? It's like tell it to Herodotus. Tell it to Toynbee. I can't think of who it was that said history's written by the victors. Maybe it was that Austrian guy. It was named von Klausenberg. Anyway. So I'm reading this book, I'll probably bloviate about it for the next couple of days until I get it done and get it out of my system. I keep going back to, this is all part and parcel of what's going on in the back channel for me, in the process of writing a book and participating in some new communities. One of the communities that I've been in for a very, very, very long time has always promoted the notion of advertising and promoting. They do it fairly, people in the community do it fairly regularly, and it works for them. It works really quite well for them. And so, you know, part of what I'm thinking is, okay, well, maybe it's become more effective than the early days of podcasts, or maybe it's more effective because the medium has changed, or the market has expanded to the point where a certain amount of broadcast actually can pay off now, if it's done the right way. Which is not to say, not even by a long shot, that I'm going to spend any of my social capital promoting, putting ads, for lack of a better term, into my social media channels. That's not going to happen, because I'm very much convinced that the model that I have for social media is working, and it's working spectacularly well, and that it's antithetical to the notion of, oh, well, I'm only going to put an ad out once a day. There's a woman who has a podcast, audio book out. I think I've mentioned her before. And every day, she puts out the same post, the same tweet, and it shows up in my audio books stream every day, every single day. And it's like, really? Do you think this is helping? Do you think this is actually working in your favor? And either she hasn't really asked the question, or hasn't really paid attention to what the answers might possibly be. Or what the implications of the answer is. How she's measuring working. Is it working? I don't know. What I do have a suspicion of is a sort of superstitious confirmation bias, where people who advertise a lot, people who produce fairly regularly and advertise a lot, see pretty decent results. And they attribute it to the advertising. They attribute much of their success to their advertising. Wearmouth is one of them that I think of right offhand. ML Banner is another. They attribute largely their success to their advertising strategies. And I'm not convinced that that's the case. I'm not convinced that that's the case. Because historically, the model that I've seen demonstrated, not just by me, but by other people over and over and over again, is that producing regular content produces regular growth. If you put out new stuff, you put out more stuff, more people find it, more people consume it, more people like it, more people spread the word. I've seen that model active since I started publishing audiobooks back in 2007. And what I've never seen is somebody who doesn't produce regularly manage to find an audience through advertising alone. And it's not necessarily evidence against that model, but it certainly raises a couple of flags for me in terms of what I think is happening in the marketplace and this sort of idea that there is a fundamental underlying driver that answers the question, why social media? And anyway, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. I still have 5,000 words to get through today. I haven't got a single one done. It's coming up on 9 o'clock. I've got to get this thing posted. And I've got a couple other things I want to do today. But tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.